This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of MFG Out Loud. Yeah. I am here with your favorite co-host and unicorn, Ray Zaganto.
Hey.
Our fabulous guest, really excited about this guy, Phil. That was my dad's name, by the way, so kind of partial to it. But Phil Rank is from Lean, Alaska, and man, does he have some stories to share. And is he going to teach you a lot? So if you want to be a process improvement master black belt in along with a couple other black belts, this is the guy to help you. So Phil, thank you for being with us. And I would love it if you could tell people about yourself and about Lean, Alaska.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here today and very excited to talk to everybody. I can definitely start off real simple. I'd like to say it's simple. It's going to sound really confusing in a minute. But so the simple part is my name is Phil. Let's just see your dad's name. We can go with that. We talk about stories and it's interesting. I've grown up not liking my name a whole lot. Phil was always kind of just this weird name. It wasn't like Tim or Bob, you know, something that was just really, let's go after it. It was Phil. Hi, Phil. And I'm like, man, what do I do with this? So as I started teaching, we're here in Alaska and we were actually driving to Fairbanks to pick up a reindeer, which is a very Alaska thing to say. And we started just kind of kicking around acronyms. So part of my background is I just retired after 24 years in the Army. I was a logistician, grew up as a mechanic, grew into a logistics role and became a warrant officer. And then somewhere along the lines, bumped into Lean Six Sigma and became a DA certified master black belt. But one of my side jobs was acronym maker upper guy, because that's what we do in the Army is make up acronyms. And we were just toying around with names. And I said, Phil, what can I do with that? And then, you know, PHIL. And I was like, wow, please help. I'm lost. I was like, oh, that is perfect. So I created a slide that opens up our training. And when I introduce myself as an instructor, you know, I tell everybody Lean Six Sigma, when you're learning it, and I'll talk about the FUSE methodology, it's a lot like drinking from a fire hose. It's very fast. It's a lot of information. You're explaining how tools are independent, how they work together, how they can help you. But it gets all very convoluted very fast. So I usually start off my training now by saying, this is a lot of information. I do apologize. It's very fast and very furious. But if you get lost, it's okay. Just say, please help, I'm lost. And you know, if you're one of these people that doesn't like to ask for help, use the code word Phil. By the way, my name is Phil. So that's kind of how my training starts. For the first time in my life, I found a great way to use that name.
That's awesome.
But again, here in Alaska. And like I said, I retired after 24 years and we were in Barnes & Noble. So I've trained for the Army for a long period of time. And here in Alaska, I started a program for the Indo-PACOM region, which was training for the military that included Korea and Hawaii and Guam and America Samoa, Fairbanks in Alaska, and Japan, a little bit of Washington State. So every couple of months we do this training, and I went to Barnes & Noble and I was walking down the bookshelf and we were picking up a book that we used for the training, and they only had a couple of copies. And as I'm picking it up, one of the sales ladies running down the aisle at me, she was like, hey, wait. Step back for a minute. I drop the book. I swear to God, I'm not robbing a place. I promise you, I'm buying the book. I have money. We're good. And she said, no, you know, some these books, they go fast in these increments. You know, 30 people will come and I won't see them for 3 months. Why is that? So, well, I teach a course on process improvement on post at the military installation. And long story short, she started asking what that was. So I started explaining to her. And then 5 or 6 minutes later, I had 7 or 8 people huddled around me just say, wow, this is great. You know, I own a business here in Alaska, or I make a product here and I'm getting into a startup. I do something of that nature. Where can I take some of this training? I said, well, unfortunately, right now I train for the military. But there could be other programs in Alaska. I'm not really sure. So I walked outside and got in the car with my wife and looked over and I said, I think we found what we're going to do when we retire. And right there in Barnes & Noble in Anchorage, Alaska, Lean Alaska was born. And the one thing that we did interesting was we expanded. Lean Six Sigma is a thing that we teach. But I also went and did some certifications with design thinking, with I've done a lot of research in the theory of constraints. We did the PMP, you know, and in 4.0 now includes Agile and Scrum. So we did it as Lean Alaska Fuse methodologies to tell people not everything is cookie cutter, not one thing fixes everything. And there's a lot of different methodologies with a lot of overlap. And it's really dependent upon what a customer, a client, or a manufacturer needs. And we can take this gigantic toolbox of these different methodologies and frameworks and really craft something to make them successful. So, like I said, that was not short or simple at all, but that's who I am and how I got here.
But it's awesome nonetheless. What I love the notion of the fused methodology, because it really does equip you with a toolkit that can be applied in so many areas. Clearly, you've done it in the military. For the purposes of our audience today, talk to us a bit about how you take that fused methodology and what it can do and how it can help manufacturers.
Sure. So, you know, we get down, and when we say manufacturers, I definitely want to make sure that we're understanding the breadth of that. Because sometimes when I talk to some small businesses, they're like, hey, I'm starting out as a manufacturer. Can you still help me? You know, I'm not huge. I don't have thousands of people and machines everywhere. You know, when we talk about manufacturing, it's anything from making a car to baking a cookie or rolling some granola. Yeah. But when we talk about the fused methodologies and they ask if they can help, the answer is absolutely yes. But I need to know where you start off, you know, manufacturing or any field that's out there. You know, our first conversation is let's talk about your mission. Let's talk about your vision and your core strategy as a business and what you're doing from that manufacturing perspective. And if we kind of hear, well, we have some core strategy, we need to outline this a little bit more, or we're not really sure, that helps me know, okay, that then maybe we're in the lean startup mode where we need to do some Hoshin-Kanri exercises and some organizational development. You know, because what we don't want to do as a project with manufacturers that it's not in line with what their strategic goals are, because then it doesn't have the same return on investment that they're looking for. So we start with those organizational goals, and then we look at that fused methodology and say, okay, this is how we can help get to the manufacturing portion. And then some of that turns into layout, some of that turns into process lead time, some of it turns into process cycle efficiency, one of the things that helps them. But it starts off with having the conversation of the organizational development that leads in, or could possibly lean into design thinking a little bit, where I recently spoke with a company that makes shirts, but they're kind of expanding. They just started. It's right now it's her sewing with a needle. And so we have to grow into the space as a manufacturer. We have a lot of demand and we're trying to keep up with that. How can you help? Well, we need to think of an innovative way to use this small space that you're in. So we can dip into that design thinking toolbox from an innovative perspective, kind of understanding, you know, that empathy that we need to from a customer, and the customer being the people that work for her's perspective, and how they want to work inside of the space. What's the layout going to look like? And then we can no pun intended, lean into the other toolbox of how do we make this consistent in growth.
And didn't you and I had a previous conversation, actually a couple, and you mentioned something that I thought was interesting. People, manufacturers, whether they're startups or they've been around forever, and you start talking about this stuff, do you see them feel maybe a little inferior or afraid that they're not going to be good at this, or that it's going to be, you know, too much? And you start asking these questions and they say, well, we have our core strategy somewhere around here. Let me find them. Or, you know, well, what is your vision? We have that somewhere. You know, what do you say to people who fall into that category, who think, I think we need this, but I don't know if we're going to be a good customer. I don't know if we're going to get it.
Yeah. You know, and I tell them that's okay. You know, not everybody went to business school when they decided they wanted to own a business. And, you know, from our perspective, you know, especially with Lean Alaska or just anybody we work with, we tell them that that's what we're here for. We're here to help them go from, you know, a baker that owns a business and cross that chasm into a business owner that knows how to bake. And that's really where we talk in terms of growth, because they start off by themselves. And it's okay to not understand, oh, I have to have a mission and a vision statement, and this is how I get to my core strategy. Because this may have been somebody that just had a product and started making it and turned out that there was growth. So we tell them that that's okay. It just helps us with them where to start. And we can start from that organizational development path. Or even really close to that, we have some that come in and they'll say, okay, we're ready to do projects. And maybe they have something that surrounds a core strategy. And they're like, but we're so ready to do projects. We want you to look at this space that we're going to move into. And they lead off with that. I'm ready to rent this great facility and just hemorrhage all of my capital into that. And so then that's, again, we get back to core strategy and mission and vision. And my, some of my first questions are, you know, why are we moving into this space? You know, what is it that I can help you with? Well, I heard process improvement is about, you know, layout. You know, absolutely. We talk about process balancing. We can talk about constraint identification. These are tools that we have. Oh, yes. I would love for you to come look at our space. You know, we're getting ready to sign the lease and we're ready to move in. I tend to have a new conversation with them as it relates to lean startup, really in the manufacturing space, because they relate very well. And I ask them, let me ask you four questions, please, before you sign this lease. And these will help to understand, are you signing the lease for the right reasons? And do you need to hire me to do process layout? Do you need to hire me to do startup? Or am I just really not the right consultant for you for this particular situation? And those four questions start off with, you know, does the customer know that they have a need for what you make or what you're going to make? And then we have to go through a validated learning process. And this isn't a simple yes or no. This is a little bit of market research, MVP processing, things like that. And if they do know what they need, why are they willing to pay for it? Oh, okay, great. Well, this is more validated learning we have to know, because I like free stuff all the time. Now you ask me to start paying for it. Well, let me reach in my little pocket back here and see if I can find my nickels and dimes. You know, we're not really sure. That's a different question. So then we realize once they get to this validated learning portion, okay, if they're willing to pay for it, are they willing to pay you for it? Because it boils down to what's the quality of your product. And that's where we can start helping you. If a quality is an issue, we can come on board with that and help from a process improvement perspective. And if they are willing to pay for that and buy it from you, now we can talk about how we're going to meet that standard. What space do we need to do that? How are we going to manufacture this? What will it look like? What I find more often than not is the validated learning of those first three questions hasn't even started from a business perspective. And I tell them the same thing when we're answering these questions, don't answer it for the space that you're in. So if you're selling in Anchorage, don't answer those questions for Anchorage. Answer those questions for Ketchikan, or answer them for Juneau or Fairbanks, or where you want to grow into that space. They're the customers that we're pointed at. So all of those things start to help, you know, us as mentors. Really, we can call it consultants, but I prefer to call it mentors, because I don't like walking the businesses and saying, I'll do this for you and walk away. Because when I'm gone, you're left holding the bag without, you know, a way to move forward. So I like to consider the concept of mentoring them to grow into this own lean culture on their own. So that's kind of the way we mentor them is, you know, let's think of it from that perspective. So, and again, you can start to see how the tools meld together. We're talking lean manufacturing, we're talking about startup and designing and thinking and validated learning. It's a lot of mixture of different methodologies.
It's interesting. You know, you talk about, there seems to be a couple types of clients out there. You know, the ones that are, they already know they have a problem, and they're trying to find some help. In the case you describe here, it sounds, and I see it, there's some out there that they have some money burning a hole in their pocket and they got to spend it somewhere, and it's not necessarily focused in the right way. For and then there's a very large population out there that may benefit from help, but don't know they need it yet. What might be some of the, are there any warning signs or mile markers or whatever that business people could be looking for that might be signals that, you know, you don't have to tolerate that or whatever?
There are, you know, and I like what you were asking. You know, sometimes they may need help, but they don't need help. I was actually having a conversation today and somebody asked me similar to the same question. They were, you know, do we know we need help? Or it was just a state of confusion. I was like, you know, sometimes process improvement or calling me is a lot like going to an AA meeting. You know, first step is admitting that you have a problem, you know, and that's a lot of where we're at. The first step as a manufacturer is admitting that the quality is not where it needs to be, or my throughput is not where it needs to be, or my profit margin is not where it needs to be. So, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and there are manufacturers out there and just business people in general. When you mention Lean Six Sigma, they're not really sure what that is. So then you can convert that to it's the title of the course. How about process improvement? Yeah, I think I've heard that somewhere before. So you have to start in a very strange space because, again, they may need the help and they don't know. So I said, okay, well, let's back this up and let's take all of these fancy words out. Have you had a meeting, or have you driven down the road, or just woke up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my God, why does this take so long to do? I don't know what is going on. Or, oh my God, why does this cost so much money? Why are we spending so much money on this process or this material? Or, oh my God, why is it every time I make this tricycle, I make it differently? It's driving me out of my mind. Mm-hmm. If you're asking yourself those three questions, it's time to pick up the phone and call us, because we're here to help solve for the this. Yeah. So for businesses, yeah, that aren't sure if they need that, we try to make that a very, bring that to a conversation that they may be having with themselves. Now, hopefully they're not answering themselves. If they are, then I have a great psychiatrist for you. But, you know, if they're not and they're willing to call, then that's where we can help them understand if they need what we have, being unsure of what it can do for them.
Got it.
One thing that I love that I want listeners to hear and know, because I didn't really know this was a thing, is you not only teach Lean Six Sigma and help people become black belts, but you mm-hmm. also have a green belt training program, right? And yellow belt.
I do. Yeah. And they go successive from white being the introductory level into yellow, a little more learning, green, getting somewhere important, black belt. I'm awesome at what I do. I'm master black belt. I walk on water. So we do those, that kind of program development level. But yeah, we carry most of those. We have a program that could be developed, but master black belt is a very unique thing. It's not, let me sign up, take the course and pass my test. That becomes very much a collaboration of learning over time, but we do carry all the way from white up to black, and then a variation. So the white, yellow, green, and black are Lean Six Sigma or Lean and Six Sigma, depending on how you understand that terminology. But what we also have is more of just a lean program, similar to other programs like bronze, silver, gold, I think is the levels with SME, with the Society of Manufacturing Engineers, mm-hmm. has a very lean program. And we carry something very similar to that, because there are some times where you don't need the heavy statistics, and leaning something out will get you where you need to be. So we do wide range, you know, either lean specific or lean and Six Sigma. But we absolutely do carry those different levels.
So when you are on site, you've had the conversation with the leadership, mm-hmm. you zeroed in on what the this is, and you get in there. I imagine that the engagement can really vary depending on what the this is, mm-hmm. what the culture, what the mission, vision, and values. I guess what I'm asking is there a typical approach or a typical journey that a client may go on once you've identified the this, or is each one different?
Well, I mean, I would say that each one's different, but again, you can only work with so many different people before things start to feel the same. So mm-hmm. we hear a lot of different things, but we hear a lot of the same thing over and over the economy of scale. The more you talk to people, the same thing you're going to hear. One of the things at Lean Alaska, my sign off to anything that I do and my question is always, what's your path? Mm-hmm. And what's your path really helps us understand from a business perspective or a personal perspective where this conversation is leading us. So, you know, from a personal perspective, what's your path? Are we looking for a credential, just something as personal development to our own selves? Or are you looking for a professional growth in industry, which is another path as well? Because mm-hmm. there's a difference between I'm taking the exam so I can pass a internationally accredited credential, or I'm taking this so I can truly learn the tools, then use them. And that's the same for businesses. So mm-hmm. it is interesting to ask that question, you know, what's typical? I don't know that I would say there is an absolute typical answer, but there are definitely two things that I hear the most. And one is, you know, once we get through that initial understanding of the organizational development, because what I do tell them is there's really no sense in discussing with me whether I need to be here full time until we know what your organizational strategy looks like. Mm-hmm. What I would not like is for a client to hire me on when I don't believe that what they're doing is the right thing to meet their strategic goals. At that point, they're just spending money for no reason. And that's not what I'm in business for. It is, I don't get me wrong, I like money, and you know, I'm a short guy. So when I sit on my wallet, I like to be a little taller. However, you know, that's my true passion and enjoyment of this is when you have those aha moments at a business where you see the light bulbs go off and like, oh my God, I get this. We can do this. Now we can push this across the line, or we can grow and we can develop. That's the best part about it. but that happens in two different spaces. And it becomes, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg conversation. Some businesses kind of go down the path where like, we'd like to hire you as a consultant. We need you to do this for us. Or the other aspect is we need a training program. So I do spend a lot of time on what's your path asking, you know, do you need me to develop a program for you? Or are you just looking for me to come in and do a one-off and leave? Personally, it almost seems that you need both. I would like to come in and train the people so they can do the thing and then stay on as a mentor. And it's a bad business model, but the idea is that I start to phase myself out quickly. Yeah. So teach, heavy mentorship up front, phase the, you know, fade to black, yeah, kind of a thing. But you see both of those paths. There are some businesses that are just, and usually sometimes it's smaller ones where they don't have the depth in personnel or the depth in employees to have a full-on training program. Yeah. Like, hey, we're only three people deep. Can you just help us out? Yes, absolutely. But when you get to the bigger businesses, that's where you tell them if you want to maximize your return on investment of having process improvement, the idea is to build it into your culture. And building into your culture is more than have a reoccurring training program. It's eventually to teach everybody to think and act the same way inside of the organization.
I was wondering, for people listening, because we have people literally all over the world that listen to this. And so if I'm in the UK or if I'm in the middle of, you know, Nebraska, do you only work with companies? And this is probably a really stupid question, but I'm going to ask it in case somebody's wondering. Do you only work with companies in Alaska, or could you work with my company if I'm 3,000 or 10,000 miles away? And we could do it remotely or bring you to us?
No, that is such an awesome question. And I absolutely love that you asked that, because we do work all over. A lot of my clients actually are on the East Coast. Now, again, that's depending on whether the clock is being nice to me or not, that could be very painful. You know, 4 a.m. comes very early. But no, we're able to work with anybody all over the world. And what I find very interesting about that, you know, we live in a time of pandemic and nobody's enjoying COVID at all. I don't think anybody can say, wow, this was a great experience. This is horrible. However, there are some silver linings that have come along with it, if you know what space you're in to work with that. And I say that prior to COVID actually kicking off and really sending everybody into their basements to do the work, there was a virtual world. You know, Zoom was a thing, Google Meets was a thing, Microsoft Teams was a thing, but they were, you know, not as well known, kind of underutilized, because we were all very much in our space of face-to-face engagements. Mm-hmm. So when I would work with companies in Alaska, even for Gemble walks, when I would go down or do a Gemble walk with him, or we would do some kind of product baselining, like I would have to go to a manufacturer and watch them do the process that they're doing so we could start doing the measure and I could train the team how to measure. So that kind of constricted me to the roadways of Alaska, which, as you know, Alaska is a huge place. So I was constricted to Fairbanks, basically down to the Kenai, you know, as best I could do. When COVID first hit, I think everybody had to take pause for a minute and how are we going to move forward? And I had a company reach out that I was working with here in Anchorage, and they said, you know, we need help. COVID has actually kicked our business into overdrive and our demand is going out of control. I cannot make enough of my product to keep up with the demand, but I have, you know, super high risk to COVID and I don't know what to do. How can you help me and not be here? So after we kicked around a few ideas and I said, do you have some iPads in your house? She's like, no, I really don't. I have my phone. I was like, you know what? I've got little kids with iPads strewed about the house. So I mailed her down two iPads and I said, we're going to put these in your space, in your manufacturing space. I said, and we're going to do virtual measuring and virtual Gembas. So what we ended up doing was putting these two iPads in two locations of her baking area where we could see everything. And I was able to record her for 3 days straight on four different baking iterations to really get some depth and data to understand what I was looking at. And what I found made me so happy. I was like, we're back. This is how we do this. And now not only that, I don't have to stay in Alaska. I can do this anywhere. So we had all of these recordings over a couple of days. They went into my Google share drive, and I shared it with her, and I was able to sit with her on virtual. Unfortunately, it was virtual, but we watched those together, and the ability to measure what she was doing was so much more accurate than me sitting there and watching. Because one person sitting there watching, you're in a real space, but there's things you're going to miss. Well, now I had two cameras catching every angle, and I could stop, I could pause, I could record. And my clock was timing the video so I could measure it down to the second as to how long these processes were taking. And what was excellent about this was through a virtual environment, never stepped one foot into their baking facility. Their process was working at 3 hours, 45 minutes with a baker, and the owner was helping for about 30 minutes of that time. Just by using these video screens, working through them with process balancing and process flow, a little bit of constraint work in there, we took them down to about 2 hours and 30 minutes and took the owner right out of the shop. And it was just the master baker. So I was like, wow, this video thing really has some merit to it. So we wanted to see if it worked large scale. There was another manufacturer that says, hey, I have a manufacturing process, but it's in China. Can you help me out? And I was like, yeah, sure. Jokingly, I was like, well, yeah, there's no problem, man. When you're heading back to China, I'm like, that's where COVID's at. Who's going there? And he came back and was like, yeah, I'm going next week. And I was like, oh, wow, that wasn't a joke. Okay, sure. But long story short, he went over, he took one of his pads so he put it up in China so I could measure the manufacturing operations there that supported him back here. So a silver lining to COVID is it has opened up a way to virtually support clients all over the world. And that has helped us expand. So I have a lot, like I said, on the East Coast, here in Alaska, one in Germany. It really, you're not restricted anymore using a technology. And the other tools that make this very easy are collaboration tools like Lucidboard or Miro. They make real-time live collaboration possible. So if we want to get on and do a whiteboarding exercise or a lightning design jam, which is a phenomenal tool for organizational development, if nobody's looked at that and you take nothing away from this, go look at lightning design jams. They're great for simple organizational development and quick decision-making on process improvement to get to some solutions. But you can do all these in this virtual space. And again, as long as you have a lot of coffee and are willing to wake up at 4 a.m., you can help anybody.
That is awesome. That is so awesome. I love the, you know, the adapt and overcome. You know, it's like, well, you know, people need help. Let's figure it out. And you're right. The technology's been at our fingertips. But we had other preferences until those preferences were taken away from us. But we still had to get it done, and you found a way. And that's awesome. That is really cool.
Well, and as Ray Dalio says, evolve or die.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right. You know, you've got two choices. So, unfortunately, we have to wrap up. Is there... We literally have multiple episodes because Phil is a wealth of information and acronyms that I don't understand.
That's my other job. I told you, acronym maker upper guy.
I know.
It's on my resume. I promise I'll send it to you.
Well, what is there anything we didn't ask you that you wanted to talk about or share with people that you think?
I do have one thing that I would share, and it's one of the things that absolutely helped me get my start in my introduction to manufacturing. And if you're in that space and you haven't spoke with your regional manufacturing extension partnership program, absolutely recommend doing that. So I will be the first to tell you that Lean Alaska got its solid start because of Alaska MEP, and their director, Alyssa Rodriguez, is just phenomenal. And she is awesome, right? And we've worked together quite a bit, and we're on our second cohort and just growing. And it's more than just working with her. It's the team that I've been able to work with and her ability to share us to other regions. But just such a great tool, especially for startups. Any manufacturing out there is great, but even for startups that are looking for a little bit of support, because it is hard, to get off your feet or to get off the ground. The MEPs are there to help for sure. So I highly recommend reaching out to them, especially for an Alaska, reach out to ours.
That's awesome.
For sure. Ray, do you have, I have one last question, but I want to let you pop in case.
No, the only thing I wanted to make sure we let everybody know is in our show notes, we are going to make sure that we attach links for Lucidboard, and you mentioned the Lightning Design, those tools as well, because as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go check them out. Those sound really cool. But yeah, Allison, I'm with you. If I don't stop asking questions now, this is going to be a mini series. Yeah.
So. Well, and in the show notes, we'll also have how you can get a hold of Phil.
Right.
I highly recommend that you connect with this guy. If at minimum, just connect with him on LinkedIn, become part of his tribe, because he is good people and a very fine human, I have to say. I meet a lot of people. You won me over really quick with your brain and your heart. So thank you so much for being with us. And is there any, before we wrap and say goodbye, is there anything you'd like to share? I'm curious, is there like the coolest thing about living in Alaska? What's one cool thing?
Oh, wow. I thought we were wrapping the show up. That like opens up a whole new thing.
Just one. Just because I'm curious.
There are so many things, but I think the coolest thing about living in Alaska is the sense of community that we have around here. So I've lived all over the world. I lived in Germany for 8 years. We've traveled everywhere. We've lived on the East Coast. We've lived Midwest, just you pick one. But you have the natural beauty. I mean, that's a no-brainer for being in Alaska and the ability to do things. But the greatest thing that I found about Alaska is when we came here and I didn't know how to do any of those. Like I you know, hunting, what was that? I got a pellet gun. I'm pretty sure I put that thing away somewhere. But the community was there to invite me in and say, hey, this is who we are as Alaskans and what we do. Let me show you how to live as we do here. And I found that to be the most impressive thing about the state is there a willingness to accept an outsider in and show us their ways and make it our own. So I found that to be very great.
See, awesome. That was such a gift. It had to be included.
There you go.
That's all there is to it. That's clear. Well, Ray, do you want to let people know how to subscribe and all that good stuff and then take us
out? Yes, subscribe now. That's how you should subscribe. We are all over the place. Hey, thanks everybody for being with us today and hearing the great stories and the wisdom that Phil dropped on us today.
Thank you.
Just like that community in Alaska that has welcomed you, Phil. We're thankful you welcomed us into your world for a little while to understand what you're doing, and we sure learned a lot. And to our listeners out there, if you enjoyed what Phil had to say today and what we bring to you on the show, please subscribe, hit like. If you really enjoyed it, tell your friends. It means a lot to us, and we really hope you keep following us so that we can keep bringing and finding more cool people like Phil. So thanks for that. We're on Apple. We're Apple Pod, the podcast stuff, the Spotify. Where else are we, Elsa? All the big ones.
All the good ones.
None of the loser sites. We're on the good ones. So that's where you find us. So check it out, and thanks for joining us. Allison?
Keep manufacturing out loud, because we need you.
You.
See you next time, everybody.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.